live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, as the Pope said Mass in the Phoenix Park yesterday, a group of local campaigners tied baby shoes to church railings to highlight what they described as the awful crimes perpetrated on young women, babies and children by the Catholic Church. There are fierce plans to build a new sewage treatment plant in the vicinity of Brownknow National School could have serious health implications. Police in Derry are appealing for witnesses following a hit and run in the city yesterday morning, and the Donegal Road Safety Working Group has issued an appeal ahead of the new school term. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Children's Minister has asked the Catholic Church to contribute substantially to the cost of memorialising the residents of the Tuam Mother and Baby Home. Catherine Sapone was speaking after her meeting with Pope Francis on Saturday, where she told him about the Tuam baby scandal. She followed up the conversation with a memo outlining the details of the case and asking the Church to take responsibility for the role it played. Minister Sapone says she has respect and understanding for those who attended demonstrations instead of the People Mass this weekend.
And I deeply respect and completely understand that people would want to be standing for truth with Colum and others, as well as those who gathered in Tuam to ensure that their voice was heard by the Pope.
And as the Pope was saying Mass in the Phoenix Park yesterday, a group of Inishowen and Derry-based activists tied baby shoes to the railings outside St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana and St Eugene's Cathedral in Derry to highlight what they described as the awful crimes perpetrated on young women, babies and children by the Catholic Church. The local baby shoes remember actions were part of a series of events around the country. Eleanor Lamb was one of the organisers of the local events. She spoke earlier on today's 9 till noon show.
It's part of the 1 million baby shoes remember worldwide project, and it's to remember all the childhood victims of abuse by priests and nuns right around the world and the deep, profound and immeasurable pain that's been caused to them. We're talking about children who've been raped, children who've been beaten, children who've been brutalised, children who've been emotionally, spiritually and mentally scarred for life, children who've been exploited and made to work in unspeakable conditions for no pay, children who've been torn away from their mothers, kidnapped and sold or trafficked right around the world. We're talking about children who've been labelled as the products of sin and thus have been maltreated, malnourished, neglected to the point of death, as happened in Tuam and other mother and baby homes. We're talking about dead children who've been discarded in septic tanks as if they were the detritus of humankind. We know about the 796 children who died in Tuam, but how many more Tuams are there in this country and right around the world as yet undiscovered?
Meanwhile, it's emerged that more than 30 soldiers based at Finnercarp in Donegal applied for sick leave ahead of the Pope's visit, with the majority refused leave by army doctors. It follows reports last week about the level of pay and conditions they were facing for their extra duties. Shirley Cotter is PRO of Wives and Partners of the Defence Forces, a support organisation which campaigns for better conditions for soldiers. On today's 9 till noon show, she spoke of the conditions faced by those on the ground last weekend.
We know that if a member went sick, even at home, they would be brought in and kept in the barracks. We know that if a serving member refused to go or didn't turn up, that they would be charged. They would be fined up to 3 days' wages. And in a low wage, that is an awful lot of money for a family to be missing in 1 week. They also would have a black mark against their career for future courses, promotions, etc. So majority of serving men and women weren't in a position to actually be able to say no to what happened this weekend.
What they were expected to do for the money that were being offered, the hours they would be working, and effectively, you couldn't call it accommodation. I think it was pretty much tents and bunk beds.
The photographs that the public have seen with their sleeping accommodation, that wouldn't have been all, but that was some to a majority. Now, our men and women aren't complaining about that. I mean, was it awful? Was it wet? Was it cold? Absolutely. But they're trained to do this. They're prepared to do this. This is part of their training. But to clarify, they're not an exercise. They are not training. They're not on the ground. They're not preparing for war. They're not preparing to go out. They're on aid to the civil power. They were called to assist the Garda Síochána Síochána. Now, to stand next to them and do the job that they're doing, but not be fed the same way, not have the same staying ground accommodation, to be paid peanuts. The Gardaí are getting €30 an hour before tax. Our lads are getting €1.86 before tax. So this breeds contempt.
There are fears plans to build a new sewage plant in the vicinity of Brownow National School in Remelton could result in serious health implications for pupils and staff. Irish Water says while a preferred site has been identified, the exact location has yet to be finalised. It's believed compulsory purchase order documents may be complete by the end of the year, with a planning application submitted in 2019. Once the plans are in place, the utilities say they will consult locally. However, Principal Sarah Martin says consultation must happen immediately, as to date they have had no correspondence from Irish Water.
We heard nothing. There was rumours in the area that they were looking into it, but there was no public meetings, nothing in writing from them at all, and that's why we're very disappointed and would request a public meeting before it goes ahead any further.
They are suggesting there'll be consultation once the plans are in place. You seem to be saying that's too late.
It is too late because there's a lot of money invested and time, and we would want it stopped before then, under health and safety reasons.
From the school's point of view, what can you do? Is there any role that the department can play in making submissions on your behalf?
We are going to put in letters of objection from the board, the department, our diocesan board and the parents on health and safety.
What's the primary concern of the school?
The primary concern, along with, firstly, the smell, you know, the risk of flies, vermin, is health implications. We know that the treatment plant is only 300 metres from our school entrance. The risk of respiratory problems, it's linked with the chemicals and bacteria, are airborne and can be inhaled, can link to problems with the lungs, gastro problems, and that's our big concern. It would affect attendance.
And from a family point of view, you have personal experience in this that raises your concerns even more.
I have a son at the school, two sons, but one is asthmatic, and it would impact him and other children who are asthmatic and other children who are attending with respiratory problems. It would definitely affect their attendance and their education. It's unfair.
Presidential hopefuls are making their pitches to three county councils today looking for support. Meath, Kildare and Westmeath Council are hearing from a number of people who want to contest Michael D. Higgins. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe has been listening to the candidates in Navan.
And I might quote perhaps George Bernard Shaw. You know, we want a few mad people now. We see where the sane ones have landed us.
Musician Jimmy Smith making his pitch earlier. Galway man Patrick Feeney has promised much improved infrastructure.
I contact him every now and again because I'm trying to get the Lewis out to Connemara, where the railway used to be.
While Jimmy Smith seems to doubt if he actually wants to be president.
I'm a big fan of our current president. I don't want to say anything pejorative about him at all. In fact, weirdly, I hope he wins this election.
Businessman Gavin Duffy said he's conscious of the restrictions on the role of the president.
The people of Ireland will go out and directly elect a president of Ireland, a president without executive powers. We're not electing a Putin or an Erdogan or, dare I say it, a Trump.
While Senator Joan Freeman continued her focus on mental health during her pitches.
I want to go around to every county in Ireland and listen to the needs of that county, because every county is different. But I want to do that. I will be the listening president.
Some of the candidates will go on and make further pitches to Kildare and Westmeath county councils, with it now looking likely the government will issue the formal order to hold the presidential election this week. Sean Defoe in Navan.
Police in Derry are appealing for witnesses following a hit and run in the lower Violet Street area of the city yesterday morning. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Police say they received a report shortly after 11:05 last night of a crash involving a yellow-coloured Volkswagen T-Roc, which was parked on the street, and another unknown vehicle. It's believed the damage-only collision occurred sometime between 2:30 on Saturday afternoon and 10:30 yesterday morning. The Volkswagen sustained damage to the rear and also to its paintwork. Police say they're treating the crash as a hit and run and are appealing to anyone who was in the area at the time or saw what happened, or anyone with information about the second vehicle believed to have been involved, to come forward.
The HSE is to contact up to 5,000 patients to inform them they have been exposed to a dangerous and difficult to treat superbug. CPE is an antibiotic resistant bacteria which is harmless in the gut but fatal in up to 50% of cases when it gets into the bloodstream. While most inpatients who came into contact with people who had CPE during their hospital stay won't have picked up the bug, up to 10% of them will. Stephen McMahon of the Irish Patients Association says there are questions to answer over how the HSE and its expert group are dealing with the issue.
There's also the issue too that the meetings were supposed to be held every fortnight or indeed weekly, but we find that on the 14th of June, they say the next meeting was to be on the 28th of June, and this hasn't been held, and we need to know why this is, considering the sheer importance of actually having this national campaign to deal with the issue.
Bundoran Lifeboat launched last evening on what proved to be a false alarm, but the RNLI says the call was made with good intent. Just after 5:15, the Inshore Lifeboat was called to help three stand-up paddleboarders thought to be in difficulty near Mullaghmore. Weather conditions at the time were poor with heavy rain and reduced visibility. Killian O'Kelly was at the helm of the lifeboat. He's praised the member of the public who raised the alarm, saying they would rather launch to find all is well than not launch at all.
The person who made the call, they weren't sure if these three SUP stand-up paddleboarders were in trouble. And once there's any doubt about people at sea and if they're safe or not, then you must engage the emergency services, phone 999 or 112. The point is that you allow us to make the decision. So we were tasked by the Coast Guard to go out, and when we went out, we made contact. They're very experienced paddleboarders. They had VHF radio for contact and land. They had life jackets on, and they were absolutely fine. They were actually doing a race from Mullaghmore to Bundoran. But if you didn't know that they were experienced and you were looking at them from a distance, I can see how the member of the public was unsure if they were in trouble or not. Our role is to check these things and to confirm for the Coast Guard that the people were safe.
And particularly on a day like yesterday when weather conditions were bad, visibility was poor, it wasn't a very good day to be out there, I suppose, really.
It wasn't, no. I mean, it was very windy out in Donegal Bay yesterday. However, there wasn't really much surf. It was just windy conditions. I would describe it as horrible conditions because it was windy and rainy. However, the three SUPers were only 100 metres from the shore. They were travelling along the shore between Mullaghmore and Bundoran. It's not like they were out in the middle of the sea or, you know, way offshore where visibility would have become an issue. When we left there at Bundoran, we could just about see Mullaghmore Head, which is about 6 or 7 miles away. So there was 6 or 7 miles visibility, and they were only 100 metres from the shore. So they were safe at all times, in fairness to them.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Now stocking the latest range of children's gear from Nike, Adidas and Puma. MichaelMurphySports.ie.
It's now 5:14, and time's latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. Martin O'Neill has named his squad ahead of next month's internationals. Michael Duffy has missed out, while Declan Rice's international future is up in the air today. PJ Lynch has the details.
West Ham teenager Rice is not part of the Republic squad for the games against Wales and Poland. Rice has already been capped by Ireland 3 times, but has not yet played a competitive international, meaning he could still switch allegiance to England, the country of his birth. Manager Martin O'Neill concedes that England have spoken with Rice and he's taking time to consider his options. While O'Neill remains hopeful of a positive outcome, he concedes the matter is now out of his hands.
I think the Republic of Ireland have done just about everything to sell the country to him. In that sense, he's been really welcomed by the players, been welcomed by everybody, he's been welcomed by the fans as well too. So it's been a I'm not so sure what else that we can do. Obviously, if the country of his birth do come calling, then he's a choice to make.
Dundalk's Michael Duffy is not included in the squad. Manager Martin O'Neill had hoped to call up the former Derry City winger, but they are still awaiting an international clearance to switch from Northern Ireland to the Republic. Duffy has previously been capped by Northern Ireland at under 21 level. Seamus Coleman, Shane Duffy, Kieran Clark and James McLean are all named. Uncapped duo Preston forward Callum Robinson and Christiansen's Sean McDermott have been included in the provisional squad. Injury results in Everton midfielder James McCarthy, Robbie Brady, Scott Hogan and Preston North End forward Sean Maguire all being ruled out.
PG Lynch with that report. Elsewhere in soccer, Manchester United are looking to recover from last week's defeat at Brighton when Tottenham visit Old Trafford in the Premier League this evening. Jose Mourinho could deploy the returning Amanda Matic in defence tonight against a side who've won their opening two league games. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. In Gaelic Games, the Mayo County Board say that Stephen Rochford is still the manager of their senior footballers. Speculation is rife that Rochford would be leaving a role he's occupied since December 2015. Rochford has been in the process of reorganising his backroom team following the departures of Donny Buckley, Peter Burke and Tony McEntee. Former Mayo captain Peter Ford and his joint manager at the Breffy club, Shane Conway, were reportedly set to be appointed as selectors this week. Officers of the county executive are due to meet with Rochford this week to discuss plans for 2019. Well, the countdown is on to Sunday's All-Ireland football final, where Tyrone play reigning champions Dublin at Croke Park. The two sides know each other well. In 2017, Tyrone suffered a heavy defeat to the Dubs in the All-Ireland semi-final, but in this season's Super 8, it was a much closer game. Peter Hart knows Tyrone will have to learn from those games if they're to make an impact this Sunday.
They're the best team in Ireland for the last 4 or 5 years, and probably by a bit of a distance. So when you come into Omagh, we weren't there to make up the numbers either. We wanted to really try and win that game because it would have secured us our semi-final passage that night. The Dubs again put the squeeze, start the second half, kicked the goal, they probably ended up winning the game for them. But look, we'll look a wee bit back in that game and we'll try and learn from what went wrong and what we can improve.
Having said that, there was only just, 3 points in it in the end. This is a big difference from last year's All-Ireland semi-final. What was it, 12 or something?
I think so, but look, that's the nature of football. I think if two teams played each other 5 times, we'd probably never end up in the same result. The Dubs are probably just that team that if you drop your level at all or they get a run on you, they can punish you, as we've seen. I mean, they beat a very good Galway team last week, convincingly, by 9 points. Obviously last year we know what happened to us, and that's what a good team and a great team like Dublin can do to you. They can really punish you, and that's probably what sets them apart from probably nearly any other county at the minute.
So, what makes them the team they are?
Well, they're made up of unbelievably skillful individuals. As everyone mentions, they get serious strength and depth, and they know exactly what they're doing. Every time you play them, they seem to have plans and they seem to have ways that they make scoring look easy, but you know it's came from an awful lot of work of where they want to shoot from and what they want to do, and they execute better than any other team maybe in the history of football. Like, so it's a daunting task, but look, it's one we're relishing because this is where we wanted to be for a long time. A lot of us boys have been about for a fair few years to try and get here and to finally do it. And look, you want to go and go a bit further now.
That is Peter Hart. You can hear more from Peter Hart and indeed other pieces on our preview of the All-Ireland football final by going to the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. The likes of Matty Donnelly's there as well. Also Dublin players Johnny Cooper and Dean Rock. And just to let you know, we're going to have a special broadcast this coming Wednesday night. Tom Comack's GA preview is going out and about into the county of Tyrone, and we'll have our show on Wednesday evening live from the St. Davokes Club in Ahiarn, which is the home of Ronan McNamee. It's going to be an hour special from Ahiarn. Tom Comack will be joined by guests from the club and indeed from the football circle in Tyrone to look ahead to the big All-Ireland final. In golf, Michael McGeady posted a brilliant second round 63 to retain the World City Pro-Am title at City of Derry Golf Club over the weekend. McGeady began the second round of the 36-hole tournament trailing overnight leader Simon Thornton. Thornton carded a bogey-free 65 to edge ahead of McGeady and Colin Moriarty after 18 holes, but McGeady came out firing on the final day on Sunday, putting his local knowledge to good use, signing for a seven birdie, no bogey round to win the event by 5 shots. Finally, cricket, Ireland need to score at a rate of a run a ball if they're to beat Afghanistan in their opening one day international at Stormont in Belfast. Earlier, Tim Murta recorded numbers of 4 for 31 with the ball as Ireland restricted the visitors to 227 for 9 in the 50 overs. A short time ago, in response, Ireland were 109 for 4, needing 119 runs from 120 balls to win. That's it, Michaela. Back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisín. As a new school term commences this week, the Donegal Road Safety Working Group is urging motorists, cyclists and children to take extra care on the roads. Donegal Road Safety Officer Brian O'Donnell says motorists need to be wary of the increase in traffic on the roads and to take care around schools, particularly as some children are going to school for the first time. He is also encouraging motorists to never underestimate the importance of wearing a seatbelt.
We've had a great summer, probably sedate travelling conditions and the whole, like, round towns and villages and near schools, but that's going to change now over the next few days. Increased travel. And we're appealing to increase cares on the journey to and from school. We're just appealing to parents and guardians to make sure their children are safely secured in a car and a child seat if needed, but definitely with their seatbelt secure, because it's very, very dangerous. And if a collision occurs and a child is not secure in the car, the damage that can be done to that child, plus other passengers, are serious.
Of course, the other important thing for other motorists and all road users is the fact that there's going to be significantly more traffic on the roads now. People do need to be mindful of the fact that there's going to be extra traffic on the roads and to adjust their timing accordingly.
That's right. And we'd appeal to motorists to drive carefully around the area for schools, approaching schools. There will be children attending school for the first time, so we want to appeal to everybody to make it as safe a time as possible for them. It's a daunting experience at the best of times, so secure the kids and the car and slow down around and near schools, and parking around schools, just to be very mindful that other parents are trying to get the kids safely to school as well as you.
And finally in news, consumers are being reassured there won't be a significant rise in food prices because of the heatwave. A UK study is warning the dry weather this summer and snow earlier in the year could push up prices by around 5%. Some meat products and vegetables could also see price increases in Ireland. But Kevin Hanrahan from Agriculture Body Chagas says it's unlikely consumers will be hit drastically.
When there's a supply shock in a particular place, trade basically ameliorates the impact of that shock on prices. So I don't think prices, even if supplies in Ireland are negatively affected, I don't think that the prices that consumers pay will go up dramatically.
And for weather now, breezy this evening with fresh and gusty westerly winds. Tonight will continue dry with mostly clear skies at first. Cloud will increase later in the night with lowest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, as the Pope was saying Mass in the Phoenix Park yesterday, a group of Inishowen and Derry-based activists tied baby shoes to the railings outside St Mary's Oratory in Buncrana and St Eugene's Cathedral in Derry to highlight what they described as the awful crimes perpetrated on young women, babies and children by the Catholic Church. Meanwhile, it's emerged that more than 30 soldiers based at Finnercamp in Donegal applied for sick leave ahead of the Pope's visit, with the majority refused leave by army doctors. It follows reports last week about the level of pay and conditions they were facing for their extra duties. There are fears plans to build a new sewage treatment plant in the vicinity of Brownknowe National School in Remelton could result in serious health implications for pupils and staff. Irish Water says while a preferred site has been identified, the exact location has yet to be finalised. A Bundoran lifeboat launched last evening on what proved to be a false alarm, but the RNLI says the call was made with good intent. Just after 5:15, the inshore lifeboat was called to help three stand-up paddleboarders thought to be in difficulty near Mullaghmoor. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, August the 27th. The death has taken place of James McGinley, Hillhead, Ardrah. His remains will be reposing at his residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardrah, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Medical 2 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Michael Gallagher, Fintra Road, Killybegs, County Donegal. Remains will be reposing at his residence this evening from 7 o'clock, with removal on Wednesday morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. both nights. The death has taken place of Joe Durning, New Mill, Remelton. Remains reposing at his home. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred in Glasgow of Josephine Rita McGallaghlay, formerly of Proclish Churchill. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning, going to St Mary Immaculate Church at Pollock Shaws for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Burial afterwards in St Conval's Cemetery, Barhead. The death has taken place of Isaac Peoples, Ballyscannon, Kilmacrenan. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in Milford Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private pleas at the request of the deceased, family flowers only. Donations if desired to Our Lady's Hospital for Sick Children, Crumlin, Kev Sweeney Funeral Directors or any family member. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Harper, née Tobin, 18 Newton Street, Strabane. Remains reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road, Strabane. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Dorothy Prendergast, 6 Swilly Terrace, Buncrana. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:25, going to St Mary's Oratory for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Cock Hills Cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Jim Kelly, 41 Sackville Court, Derry, and formerly of Strabane. Remains reposing at his sister Bernie Kelly's home, 230 Ballycommon Estate, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Joe Anderson, Legna Brad, Ballandrate, Lifford. House private, family and friends welcome. Funeral from his residence tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock service at Dunamore Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the family plot. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, Kev Gibson Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred of Josie O'Donnell, Clochwilly, Dunlow. His remains are reposing at McGlynn's funeral home. Viewing today with removal at 7 o'clock to St Cronus Church, Dunlow, to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of desire to Medical 2 Letterkenny University Hospital. Care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, funeral director.